this morning at a very famous incident in the Bible, looking at God saying, I will. We're going to read from Exodus chapter number 3, and we're going to see how God dealt with Moses, and how Moses thought about God and his circumstances. And I want us to think this morning about the theory of God being with us. A theory of it. And the practical application of it in our lives. Very often we trot out half a verse. And we comment about God saying, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And we look at that. And we just give it to people like some kind of whatever. And that's going to help them. There's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. I'm going to see this morning, I hope and pray that the actual reality of God being with us is a day by day, moment by moment, experience by experience. Not just a theory. But it's a day by day thing. So with that thought in mind, let's turn to Exodus chapter number 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to a far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, him being nosy, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. God says, do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of all these tribes. So now go, verse number 10. I am sending you to Pharaoh, to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that I see I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship on this mountain. And then Moses comes out with some excuses. Suppose I go to them. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is who you are to say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. This was the God who is. The I am who is I am. Jehovah. God was speaking to Moses to send him back into Egypt. And so we find as we go through the story that God speaks to Moses, what's that in your hand? It's a staff that I use, everyday thing, put it on the ground, it turned into a snake. And God gives him all kinds of signs that he is going to be with him. But in theory, he gets this in a burning bush in the middle of the desert. I will be with you. Now Moses is a murderer. He has murdered an Egyptian slave driver back in the day, 40 years ago, certainly some years ago. And Pharaoh's found out about it, and Moses had to leave Egypt, an accused murderer, guilty. If he's caught, he's dead. But he leaves Egypt, and he goes out into the desert, and he meets someone, and they marry, and he's employed now by his father-in-law, Jethro, looking after sheep in the desert. Don't let the mistakes of the past rob you of serving God in the present. Do you find your mind going back to many years ago and what I said, what I did, how I thought, and oh boy, I feel so guilty, how can I serve God now? That's not the way God deals with people. We should talk about repentance. God deals with our past so we can serve Him in the present. God takes the guilt of the past and deletes it and removes it from us as we put our faith in Him. And Moses had been guilty. He was guilty of murder. But God says, that's not going to preclude you from serving me. And so it's out in the desert in the middle of nowhere. Quite a come down from a king's palace to a desert tent looking after sheep, wandering around in the heat of the day. That's what he was doing. And then God gets Moses' attention. God does something that makes Moses turn around and say, wow, that's unusual for a Tuesday. What's going on there? Or was it Thursday? And he sees a bush that's burning. Well, the bush is not burning away. The flame is inside the bush, and that's unusual. And God gets Moses' attention. He turns and he turns. I'll go and see this thing that's happening. What is all about? When God saw that, he spoke to him. Has God got his attention? Did you look at the total eclipse of the sun this past week? Wasn't it amazing? Mentioned to the ladies on Tuesday. The word that was used by some of those people commenting was this word. Majestic. Majestic. God got people's attention by the total eclipse of the sun. And they've worked out to the day, the minute, the hour, when the next one's going to happen. I think it's in Portugal or somewhere. In a couple of years' time. And they know that because God has an order to creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and God got people's attention by the total eclipse of the sun, and they would explain it away by all kinds of weird and wonderful theories, but God was getting people's attention with a majestic eclipse of the sun, and God is declaring His greatness every day in creation. Did you know that? I just praise God for His creation. Bumblebees and ladybirds. There was never enough time to count those ladybirds. It was a fix. It's down to you when you hear about that. God's creation is absolutely amazing. Isn't it? That a bird lands on a telegraph pole or a wire and perfectly balanced. I guess it's just lucky, eh? No, God designed it like that. Isn't it amazing? If that's my grandchildren, why don't smells go in your ears? And they look at me like you're looking at me thinking, what are you on about? But you see, the smell things on your nose, and that's what's hearing goes in your ears. It's amazing that we are created as God has created. We are wonderfully and fearfully made. Don't put it down to evolution. God gets our attention when we look at the wonder of God's creation. That I can stand up, although my muscles work together. It's just wonderful creation of God. That I can see and think and do those things that I can do. I'm an amazing creation of God, made in His image. To think and create and worship and invent and all these things that we take for granted. Creation of God. God's screaming to this world every day to give me your attention. Listen to me. Trust me. Talk to me. God got Moses' attention here by a flame inside a bush. And then God takes Moses that step further. And he speaks to him. He speaks to him. The God of your father and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And then God gives this great message that I'm going to send you back. And you're going to go back to Egypt. And as you go through the narrative, you'll find that God says, it's okay. All those people who were looking for you have gone. You're okay to go back. Moses, it's okay. And then Moses starts to think about the reasons why he shouldn't do what God said. I'm not very good at speaking. It was one of his excuses. And God said to him, who made the mouth?
Who made you to speak? Me?
Yeah, but what if I go and they don't believe me? What's that in your hand? It's a stick. Put it on the ground, turns into a snake. Ah! Picks it up again. Put your hand inside your coat, bring it out again, it's leprosy. Ah! Put it back in your hand, it comes out again, it's clean. Whoa! Moses, I'll be with you. When there's doubts and fears, I will be with you. I will show my power through you, Moses. You've no need to worry. I know exactly who you are, and I know exactly how to deal with you when you go back to Egypt. Who should I say send me? Tell them that I am has sent you. The God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God Almighty as they knew him. But I'm sending you back with a revelation of me, says Moses, like God to Moses. I am. Nobody will know me like you know me as you go back and serve me. And Moses going, whoa. And then finally the excuses dry up. Moses says in chapter 4 verse 13, oh Lord, please send somebody else to do it. Now Moses' excuses were dealt with by God. His self-doubt about whether he could speak or not, and what would happen when he went back, and what if they don't believe me, and who should I say send me? God dealt with all those. And then finally Moses says, really God, I want to send somebody else. I'm not going to go. Now God wanted to go with Moses, but Moses didn't want to go with God. Please send somebody else. And that's so many of us. When it comes to the crunch, we just don't want to be what God wants us to be. We don't want to go where God wants us to go. The alternative was to stay in the desert, presumably. But God has a plan for the life of Moses. He is sovereign in Moses' life. He was sovereign in Jonah's life and in Nineveh. He's sovereign in Moses' life and in Egypt. He is God, sovereign over all. He's sovereign of Gaza. He's sovereign in Ukraine. He's sovereign in Nigeria. He's sovereign wherever God's people are on the planet where we live. God is sovereign. And Moses puts himself in a place where he is defying the sovereign God of heaven, the one who is the eternal I am, the Lord God Almighty. And Moses says to God, God, I just don't want to go. Send somebody else. And God says, it's okay, Aaron. He's on his way. You're going to go. Now get. Okay, says Moses. But it's all theory. Isn't it? I'll be with you. Moses, I'll deal with your excuses. I will even overcome your disobedience because I will send somebody with you. But Moses, you are going to have to go and live it to prove that I'm with you. And the proof you're going to have ultimately, says God to Moses, is when you come out of Egypt and you're on your way to the promised land I'm going to give you, you will worship in this mountain. But Moses, you've got to go with me to do what I want you to do to prove that I'm with you. God's with me, but yeah, I'm going to worry. God's with me, but I don't understand this. I'm not going to do it. God's with me, but no, this is too difficult, this is too hard for me. God, I can't cope with this, I can't deal with this. And we turn our backs on God and we don't want to go down the path that God has got for us. And sometimes that path can be difficult. It's not come to Jesus and everything is just wonderful. It's not come to Jesus and you have no more problems. It's come to Christ and I will change you. I will equip you, and I will bless you, and I will lead you where I want you to go. So Moses, he's going to have to prove, in reality, that God is with him. Chapter 3, verse 20, God says this to Moses. I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform before them. After that, he will let you go. Moses, I'm going to be with you when you're dealing with the Egyptians. chapter 4, verse 12, he says this. You shall speak to him, I will help you both, you do to speak, and will teach you what to do. Moses, this is going to affect every part of your life. Moses, me being with you is going to help you deal with those who are opposed to you, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to give you what to say, and I'm going to tell you how to, I will teach you how to live for me, Moses. But it isn't going to happen at the bush. It's going to happen when you, step by step, moment by moment, day by day, walk with me back to Egypt, where I want you to be. Because Moses, I've got work for you to do. And Moses, you can stay here without me, or you can go on with me. Your choice. Aaron's on his way. And Moses chose to go. In spite of his guilt in the past, in spite of his doubts about the future, and in spite of the deep-seated refusal in his heart to go, when he says to God, send somebody else, Moses went. And Moses proved that the reality of God being with him was in fact that, the reality. I'll share this with you. I had a dream the other month. And in my dream I was thin. And I woke up gutted. Because I'm not. I wanted to go back into my dream. But I couldn't. You're laughing at me. We can live in the dream world. Or in the reality. This world sells you a dream. Everything's going to be okay. God's love. God won't condemn you. God won't judge you. God's love. This God thing, just leave it to one side, says the enemy. It's a sin. Just ignore what God says. It doesn't, it's irrelevant. In the 21st century, for goodness sake. It's a dream. It's a fantasy. It'll turn into a nightmare. And Moses had to do what God said to prove in his own life that what God said was true. And Moses goes back to Egypt. I will teach you what to say. I will help you to speak. I will help you both to speak. I will teach you what to do. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart. God was sovereign in all that Moses was going to go into. And that's the reality of it. That when God says, I will be with you, it takes us faith to step into that path to prove that God is actually with us. And friend, this morning, I don't know whether you trust Christ or not, but I know this. Without Christ, you're in a desert with no hope, no prospects, nothing. Without Christ, all that a person can acquire and amass for themselves, they will leave it on this earth. When they leave, it's all going to be piled up for rubbish. But with Christ, we go to something. With Christ, we face life every day. With God with us and with God in us, helping us and teaching us and guiding us and showing us the kind of person God wants us to be and revealing God to us in the most amazing way. Moses, your fathers and grandfathers knew me about me as the great almighty God, but you are going to know me as I am. I will be with you every step, Moses. I'm in you, I'm with you, you're working through me. Moses, this is going to be something dramatic that nobody else has ever seen before. And Moses, I'm going to start with you to reveal my greatness to people. I am. The God who is. And the God who always will be. And the God who never changes in any way, shape or form. He's the ultimate creator, redeemer, believing God. He's absolutely amazing in a person's life. Time is almost gone. But listen, Christian, are you walking with God day by day? Oh yeah,
You've got the doubts. Are you serving him? Am I walking with him every step of the way in a way that I don't understand and I can't give an explanation? But this is what God has called me to do, and I will do it because I believe God is with me and in me.
And the going is tough. And people are opposed to us. People don't understand us. And people are working against us. Moses goes back, and it wasn't 3, 2, 1, let's go, fellas, out of Egypt. It was negotiation with Pharaoh. It was demonstrating God's power, and Pharaoh's magicians doing the same thing up to a point. And through all that, Moses knew that God was with him. The criticism of God's people, the complaints when they had to make the same number of bricks with no straw provided. Go through the story, and you'll find the only constant is this. That God was in it. That's the only constant in the story of Moses. There were doubts, there were fears, there was opposition that came and went. The only constant is the presence of God in the life and experience of Moses. Yeah? This is your encouragement. We normally go out on a Wednesday with 2 grandkids and take them to McDonald's. They're on holiday. They arrange for some to go do some dental checkups. We couldn't go on Wednesday. We're going to go on Thursday. So Wednesday was free this past week. I got a phone call from a young man. I hadn't seen him for years. And he phoned me. Can I meet? Need your wisdom. We met up in a coffee shop. I didn't know what he was going to say to me. But I took my Bible and my contemporary notes and went with me. And as this young man talked to me, well, young, he's a man, 50 years of age, as he poured out his heart to me, my mind went to my notes on Moses for today. And I gave it to him. And he opened them out on the coffee table and said this, wow, that's just for me. You see, God joins the dots. A dental appointment for 2 grandchildren and a man facing difficulties he's finding difficult to deal with, and God brought them all together in a coffee shop, Wednesday, 1:30, just outside London. That's the God we're dealing with. That God can take you and put you in a place where he can use you. That God can take you and use you in a place that is glorifying to him. Day by day, unexpected, unannounced. I woke up Wednesday morning thinking, what should I do today? And God had plans for me. Good news, he got a free latte out of it. But that's God. You see, he's the I am. He's not the I might be with you. He's not the I could be with you. He's the I am. Time has gone. But this morning I want to ask a question. Are you prepared to give up all you have to get all you need? That's Christ. Are you still wandering around in the desert wondering when God's got your attention and he wants to deal with you right where you are? Oh, I'm too bad for God, or I'm not good enough for God, or I don't need God, I'm all right. To put your faith in the God who is, and the God who says, I will be with you, and then to walk by faith, that step of the day, every day, day by day, moment by moment, experience by experience, walking that knowing is God. You see, it's just theory until you actually walk the walk. And then you wonder how you got by without him. Because that's what God does. God says to Moses, I will be with you. For Moses to prove that, he got to obey me day by day. I'm just putting to one side what I want and trusting him completely. The Christ that died on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ who gave his life that I might be forgiven, says, I want to use you every day, moment by moment. Will you walk with me? And I've got to say yes. And prove he's with me every single day. Or I can walk away from my burning bush. Just carry on. I've got to be prepared to give everything that I've got to get everything that I need. And the God that says, I will be with you, keeps his promise. So it says this morning, just walk with me. Just walk with me. And I will teach you, bless you. I will provide for you. I will be real to you. I will be your sovereign in every aspect of your life. And when I forget that, I lose the one certainty that's in my life. Other things will vary. But the one certainty is this, for the Christian. Whatever the circumstance.